everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypebull.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, welcome to PokeChat episode number 41. This is our Pokemon Origins recap. With myself, I have Simon, Jack, and Devin. We are doing our first non-live episode in quite a while because we were going through and playing Pokemon X and Y. But now that we are taking a quick break from that, we're doing it for a very important reason, for a very special anime special. So let's start off with you, Simon. How are you feeling now that you've watched all of this much talked about Pokemon Origins?
It was really cute, and it was good to be watching anime again, because there's something special about both live episodes and audio podcasts, so it's good to be back, and it was pretty good. I liked it.
Lots of fun to be had, wouldn't you say, Jack?
Yeah, the Origins was awesome. It was a nice, as someone said, it was a nice break to watching the anime again and talking about it instead of doing a live video show. Because in that way, we don't have to dress ourselves up for the video.
Devin, I'm sure you don't miss dressing up, too.
No, not at all. I'm just hanging out in my normal attire, though. So I look vaguely the same.
So the normal attire is just nude?
Damn straight. That's all I am.
All right. Maybe with the cat or two strolled over your shoulders, huh?
No cat. They're currently trying to get in, though. I can hear the doorknob turning.
Oh,
slow.
So cute. Love your cats. Okay, guys, so let's jump into our Origins recap. The first episode opens with the familiar game menu that we all recognize from when you play Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow. And we are given an introduction to our Pokemon Professor, Professor Oak, who you will note has a very different voice from the one in the anime. So he basically tells us, we live in a magical world. Do you want to take part in it? And it's the same as you would see basically as if you were starting the game, but more fancified, and this time with an Eevee. And Red is introduced to us in the next scene as he's watching a Pokemon contest on his TV. It is the intro that you see of Gengar and, isn't it, Nidorino fighting against each other, the male Nidorino, in that Colosseum battle. And his mom calls down that Professor Oak has finished something for Red. He trips down the stairs in a very anime way style, setting the tone for the way Origins was going to play out. It wasn't going to be as silly as Pokemon the anime, but it still was going to have, I don't know, I'd say some like Naruto vibe to it. So that was our introduction to a whole bunch of stuff and a lot of elements to how this anime special was going to operate. Simon, you're a big Dragon Ball Z fan. Were you turned off by the art style of Pokemon Origins from the get-go?
I'm a little turned off by new style animation in general. Like, it wears me out. Weirds me out because I'm so used to the classic anime style, so yeah, it was just really weird for me. But he's got points on Ash because he was at least dressed. No pajamas this time.
Yes, he definitely
that reminds me of what you said, Simone. I'm going to pull a really weird reference here. Do you guys remember the show American Dragon Jake Long on Disney Channel?
Yeah.
Halfway through their series, they changed the anime style halfway through the series.
Hey,
and that was weird to adjust to. No, I haven't seen it in a while. I'm just remembering. It was just weird when they did it.
Yeah,
do you guys remember that?
Yeah, it became almost like a cel-shaded 2D form, right? Remember that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it wasn't that cool.
It was like a completely different art style, and it was weird. It changed the whole show.
Mm-hmm. I totally remember that. It's almost like everyone became like half chibi or something. So, Devin, you play, I know, a lot of games that have anime styles, such as the game Catherine, and I feel like you can relate to this game's art, this special's art style because of those types of games, right?
Yeah, it wasn't as daunting to me as some of you guys, but it's still, I don't know, I think the voices bothered me more than the animation. I just wasn't a huge fan of, like, Professor Oak's voice to me just that didn't sound right. I don't know why.
That too.
Yeah. He was definitely Professor a little bit too young sounding.
Yeah. And then, I guess, how old was Red? Isn't he pretty young?
They're always 10.
Okay. Well,
I say they're always 10. All Generation 1 protagonists are 10.
Okay. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the voices to me sounded a little strange. That's the only real issue besides other stuff we'll cover later that I had a problem with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as we come up on moments that you remember in particular, like a funny line or something, definitely tell us it, because I'd love to hear your interpretation of their voice, like your mock of their voice. All right, so the next scene is Red heading to Professor Oak's lab, where he runs into his rival, Blue. Blue is the character that Gary Oak is based off of. They are both offered a Pokemon and asked to complete a Pokedex. Oak lets them then choose between the three Gen 1 starters, Squirtle, Charmander, and Bulbasaur. Red chooses Charmander in a very interesting backstory plot point, because he says that it's a tribute to the name that his father gave him in hope that his son would have a fiery, very successful personality. First mention of Red's father ever that I can pick out. Maybe Manga's going to have some mention of that, I'm sure. But that was a very interesting plot point that they mentioned Red's father. I mean, to me, it sounds like he's dead, because it's not like there's a bitterness to his words where he's like, well, my father before he left, you know? So, Devin, what's your interpretation of Red's father from that information that we just received?
It left a lot to be desired, because you're like, wait, what? And then you sit there and you expect a little more, and then that's it. And you just kind of like, oh, that was lackluster.
Yeah, it's almost like Azula and Zuko's mom from The Last Airbender, how they always tease what happened to her, and they never finally tell you. Jack, you watched that series.
Airbender, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you can relate to that annoyingness when it just, like, never tells you what happens to their lineage. And you're just like, oh, come on, I know something special happened, but you're going to only...
Yeah, like, pretty much. Keep you waiting.
Oh, seriously. Yeah, a lot of series I'm into do that. They'll either do that through lineage or sexuality. I found that those are two common threads to keep listeners and readers and watchers hanging on, so that they can try and see how long they can hold out a story plot point before they finally reveal a character's backstory. And it's very frustrating in shows like Teen Wolf and The Last Airbender, and now Origins is doing it.
Oh yeah, Teen Wolf is bad for that with Styles. Really, yes. Just find out stuff about his mom until the end of the first part of season 3.
Yeah, Styles is the most frustrating character for lineage and sexuality. It's very frustrating. So I wasn't a big fan when Origins did this, because I've already had this happen to me too often, and I felt a little bit jaded.
Yeah.
All right, so Red chooses Charmander as his tribute to the name that his father gave him, and Blue then chooses Squirtle, but not because his name is Blue, but because it is super effective against Red's Charmander. Oak says that they can nickname their Pokemon, but neither decide to. Blue considers challenging Red to a battle. But this is where it deviates from the game for, I'd say, the first time, other than... this is definitely the first time it's deviated from the game. Like, everything else has been, like, clearly the same as the Red, Blue, and Yellow. So the battle doesn't happen. Oak's really rip-roaring and ready to let them, you know, fight to the death already, but Blue's a little bit nicer than he is in the game, I'd say. So, once again, we have another universe. We've, right from this moment, created another universe in the Pokemon world. I guess I should have expected it, but this is probably the 10th universe in Pokemon, and it's just funny when people... I mean, if you ask someone if they like Pokemon, basically you're asking them if they like 10 different series, because that's what this series consists of. It's like there's so many different time fluxes and universes in this world. It's baffling. So this is an introduction, like I said, to a nicer Blue. He isn't going to be as much of a jerk. He's still going to be a jerk, but he's going to, it's like that meme says, not as big of a jerk as you could have been. That's this Blue.
I think he's a jerk in a different way. He's got a huge ego.
Yeah, but I mean, Blue's always had that ego. But he didn't. Yeah. He didn't start that fight. That's why I'm saying not as big of a jerk as you could have been.
Yeah, true that.
Other than that, I'm seeing, you know, they're carbon copying Blue from the games, but they're just every once in a while backing him off and making him more likable, and I liked him. I really did like this Blue overall. I thought that he was a pretty cool guy, didn't you, Jack?
I didn't think he was cool. I mean, he could have been a lot. He could have been a lot worse. Like, I mean, yeah, it was okay. He was just more sly than he was, like, it's, I don't know, like, he was mean. He was a lot more sneaky about it.
Yeah, he was kind of more like in Mean Girls, where they're more like pikas to each other behind their backs.
Yeah, well, we know, I haven't seen Mean Girls.
Oh, come on, I know.
And we're not opening that can again.
You can't sit with us, Reed.
And on Tuesdays, we wear pink. Alright, so Red reminds us that he's a beginner and that they're not going to have a battle because the two are beginners. Blue runs off to get his journey started. While Red goes off into the tall grass of Route 1, he catches a Rattata. I'm always pronouncing this wrong and I get really angry comments because I'm told it sounds like gunfire. So here's my best guess of how that sounds. Rattata. That sounds bad too. Spearow, Caterpie, and Pidgey to form his first team. Very common team for Route 1. Red then gets into his first battle and wins before trying to catch the opponent's Nidoran to give us an example of how that's going to look in Pokemon Origins. I feel like they know, everyone knows, you can't catch a trainer's Pokemon in battles that's watching Origins, because this is a very niche thing to even know is existing. Like, you have to go on the TV website or download the app and then note that this isn't the anime to be watching this already. So that's why it's just, to me, it's to show off their special effects. And when Red throws the Pokeball at the Nidoran, a large sphere comes around, like a protecting sphere comes around the Nidoran, as opposed to, let's say, the trainer blocking it with their hand like they do in the game. So that's another thing that's new in the Origins universe. Devin, what do you think about this very, I'd say, Japanese RPG-like effect?
It was kind of nice. Because the kid's obviously not going to slap. I don't think he could slap it out of the air. I think that was the only way they were going to really display it the best they could.
It was making me laugh in the games when I would use Master Balls against whatever, and it would be like, no, you can't catch that. And I was like, you just slapped away a Master Ball. That's like $1,000,000.
I mean, because we all tried that first game. Like, oh, I'm going to try to catch someone else's Pokemon just to see what happens. And sure enough, nope.
Yep.
But isn't it common sense that you don't try and catch somebody else's Pokemon? It's kind of douchey.
But how are you going to know if the Pokemon's just walking around like a wild Pokemon?
Well, that's
no, but they were battling.
Yeah.
Whoops.
So, in the end of the day, yeah, Red was a bit of a pika for doing that, but I guess that they wanted to, A, introduce this concept to new viewers of Origins. Like I said, that's weird that you're watching this thing for your first time of Pokemon. And then B, they wanted to show that special JRPG effect that they're going to have for Origins. I'd like that better for the games, too. I think that would have been fun if they wrote that in, but oh well, too late. About 13 years too late. Or however old the series is. I know, we're like 17 years? I don't know. I can't remember anymore. 1995? I can't do math. Someone else figured out. that's nowhere near the years I said. Never mind. I'll stop embarrassing myself by continuing on.
I think that's, what, 12 years?
It's 12 years.
95. Yeah. No. Yes. I don't know.
I was born in 95 and I'm 18.
Okay, 18. So it's 18 years old. Bam.
Yeah, got it. I'm thinking 20.
Jack was born with Pokemon. That's how I'm always going to remember how old the series is.
You're such a baby. Oh my god.
Yeah, he really is. Alright, so then Red arrives in Viridian City, surprising Blue. Red declares that getting stronger isn't his goal, and Blue tells him that he won't complete the Pokedex that way, thus showing the rift between Red and Blue and their ultimate goals in this Pokemon universe. I gotta say, though, that Red's goals do blur a lot, because he says he's not looking to become the strongest, and he's looking to, I don't know, get all these experiences, but then he still does look to become strongest at certain points, too. So it's like, oh, is that just like a bonus, you know, thing for that? Like, to me, it seems like Red wants to complete his Pokedex, Blue wants to just kill everyone. That's it. Like Blue has a superiority complex where he has to know he's the strongest person out there. Which is very reflective of Ash and Gary, although their rivalry is a lot more heated than Red and Blue's. Blue challenges Red and Charmander to a battle with the Squirtle that he got from Professor Oak. So this is our first big rival battle. cute. That music was great too. I loved how violin-y it sounded. Remember that, Simon?
How what it sounded?
Violin-y.
Violin-y. Oh yeah, I loved the music they chose for this. It worked so well.
Totally. I loved how they slowed it down to make it more dramatic and almost emotional. It was cool hearing Gary Oakes or blues theme slow down. That's blues theme, not Gary Oakes. Come on, Gary, stay out of there.
Come on.
So there's a vicious bite from this is the bite heard around the world. A vicious bite from Squirtle on Charmander, and this makes Red realize that he knows nothing about tight matches, and he loses to the Squirtle. The reason I call that the bite heard around the world is because when Origins was first released in Japan, that scene went viral because everyone wanted to see the horrific way in which Squirtle bites Charmander's cheek, squishing the cheek like it was biting into the flesh, making Charmander scream bloody murder and making its tail almost extinguished, therefore almost murdering it. But
the scream wasn't nearly as bad in the English, though.
It was
very cut down.
Yeah, it was more like, ah... Mm-hmm. Ah, one of them, like the Japanese one, it was like, ah, 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 for like ever. It never wanted to end.
It went on for a little too long.
Yeah, it was like uncomfortably made to be long. It was funny. That's a dub edit, I'd say. And I'd say that's a dub edit because I like to think that they kept all of the voices of the original grunts from the Pokemon in this. I can't think of a moment where, they sounded particularly Japanese, but how can a grunt sound Japanese, you know? So I think they just edited that down a little bit to make it less upsetting for, let's just say they have a younger demographic in America. I don't know. Or any English-speaking territories, as, you know, we have New Zealand and Australian people here. Jack, did you notice that difference too?
Yeah, I didn't even know that was the part until the episode finished, because it wasn't as anything as I remembered hearing about. Like, I didn't even watch the video when it came out from Japan. I just heard the noise, like I heard a sound clip of it. So then when I was watching it, I did not even know that was the part because it was so toned down. Yeah. I thought it was going to happen again later, and then it didn't.
All right, so as Red walks off into Viridian City, a strange man approaches him and tells Red to go to the Pokemon Center, where after that he should go challenge some gym leaders to become stronger. The strange man is not then revealed to be Brock, but we all know him to be just from that classic spiky hair, squinty-eyed look. He has a very different voice from his anime version, but I can still catch remnants of Brock's gruffness in his voice actor for Origins. Other than that, he looked very much like he did in his sprite version did, his sprite art in Red, Blue, Yellow. I liked Brock. I thought that he was different in a good way. I didn't have any complaints, Simon.
Well, he looked and sounded a little weird to me, but other than that, he was good. He seemed to be, like, taking on the role his father had in the original anime, with, like, the wise, mysterious man that gets revealed to be someone important later on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he's sort of taking that role.
Let's clarify, you're talking about Brock's father in the anime episode where Ash battles Brock.
Wait, what?
That's what you remember.
Yeah, that's right, you are.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to clarify for the listener because I didn't think it made sense. It sounded like you were talking about Red's father, and I was like, no, we don't know him.
Yeah. What was his name? Flint?
Flint, yep. I remember that guy. All right, so Red decides that he's going to spend the time while his Pokemon are healing talking to Professor Oak and learns how the PC transfer system works, where you catch 6 Pokemon, the 7th will be sent to the PC automatically. They don't talk about how the Pokemon get sent to Professor Oak, so that's a big anime Origins difference. I believe that they're also just sent to your PC as opposed to Professor Oak in Red, Blue, Yellow, too, so I'll just call it Game World. Game World makes more sense than saying Red, Blue, Yellow. Because it goes on for the rest of the games, too. All right, so the Nurse Joy of this Pokemon Center looks obviously very different from anything we'd seen in anime. she has like large hair loopies and is a very, her hair tone isn't as bright pink. It's more toned down. And overall, she's not as bright and bubbly. She's more of just like, here's your Pokemon, Red, enjoy. She's not just like, oh my god, I love you, come again. Devin, did you miss the typical Nurse Joy that Brock would hit on, or do you like this type of Nurse Joy?
I miss the old one. It's just the way, that's how I look at all the Nurse Joys, is just like the anime, because that's what I grew up knowing and loving. Yeah. That voice and happiness.
And I think that this is just another good example of how they're going to unabashedly change anything you've known from the anime. They're not going to follow the anime to any extent, not even when we see it later on, a wild Pikachu. It doesn't even make Pikachu noises. It like goes
yeah, nothing has, even says their name. It's weird.
Yeah, that is very odd. That's a good point, Devin, that we didn't bring up yet, that none of the Pokemon say their names ever. They only ever grunt. So that's like probably the biggest difference from anime to Origins, and anyone looking to watch the anime would be very confused as to why all the Pokemon weren't going, Pika! Pikachu! So as Red is going to fight Brock, he goes to the gym and talks to two trainers out front, which use the game dialogue that some of the trainers inside of the gym use. One of them gives that specific, you're light years away from Brock line, and that's one of the first cues that I could know, other than the beginning, that they were going to take random dialogue and insert it into Origins for the big fans of the game who would catch on to that kind of stuff. So I appreciated that moment. They teach Red that the gym leader is Brock, who was the strange man that Ash met, Red met before. How many times do you think I'm going to do that? Brock allows Red in because he knows that he was talking to him before and invites him in as a special guest. Brock declares that the battle will be two Pokemon per side, starting with Brock's Geodude against Red's Charmander. Brock teaches Red about tight matchups, and Red takes it into account by switching Charmander for Nidoran and knocking Geodude out with a double kick. Then Brock sends out his ginormous Onix, which knocks out all of Red's Pokemon right up to Charmander. There was a pretty cool moment where Metapod is used to use String Shot against Onix to slow it down. That ended up being the final thing that allowed Red to win against Onix, because there was still 1 ounce of String Shot left over on Onix, thus making it slower than Charmander. Charmander was able to use its, I think it was, Scratch on it and knock it out. But honestly, this battle goes all to Nidoran, as it would in any person playing with Charmander or Pikachu in the beginning of any of the games, because you're at a type disadvantage to Brock, so one of the only Pokemon out there that conveniently learns a fighting type move in the beginning or something super effective against Rock is that Nidoran. So that was a nice shout out that they gave there to what they knew a lot of us did to defeat Brock.
Brock, and did you guys catch the girl saying it's not very effective?
Yeah,
that was kind
of cool. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they put through in some battle text even there. That was neat. And yeah, so Brock gives Red the Boulder Badge and the TM34 bot. Oh, thanks for putting in the TM numbers, Saman. Is that Gen 1 TM numbers?
Bide. I can't really remember if we specifically see Bide in Gen 1, but probably.
All right, great. So the episode ends with a Red Love Fest as he's all up in his Charmander. And that gives us our first episode of Origins, which there's one last thing I wanted to talk about for, was within only specific battles, gym battles it seems, and Pokemon League battles for later on, we will see the HP of the participating Pokemon displayed on the screen, probably because those are the only times that screens are really readily available in battle, along with the names of the Pokemon and the, I think the levels are displayed, along with the number of Pokemon on each side, aka just like a normal battle in any of the games. But like I said, everything is in Japanese still. They didn't translate that text, which is a bit frustrating, because when Red catches a Pokemon, it's always in Japanese. And I wanted to read if the Pokedex entries were different from everything else we'd seen before for our brand new Pokedex entry, for like Metapod or something. Jack, did you find that similarly frustrating that all the text in Origins was still Japanese?
Not really. It doesn't bother me, because I mean, that happens every now and then in the anime, I'm pretty sure, doesn't it? There's just, like, a random sign with Japanese text. That didn't bother me. It was just there. And I thought I'd assumed that would happen anyway.
Yeah, that does happen in the anime sometimes. Just like we were talking about when I watched movie one again, and I had seen all of those little moments that were still Japanese text.
Yeah.
Remember that? Yeah, that was your hosting episode, Jack. How could you ever forget it?
Movie one,
yeah, because I gave movie one facts from the commentary that I watched.
Oh, I think I hosted the movie one commentary. I think we haven't even done that yet.
I probably did say that. Sorry. No. Okay. No, I watched the creator's commentary on the disc for movie one. That's what I was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So Origins episode 2 begins with Red fast forwarding through multiple events, which zoomed through a lot, but it still gave us some pretty good material. And as soon as I've gone through what it zips through, I'll defend it the best I can, because I have a pretty good idea why they were doing it this way, and I know Saman was particularly upset about it. So yes, I'll get your opinion on it in just a minute. Okay, so the events that Red gives the voiceover introduction for are two more gyms, which were... oh, crap, Saman didn't write them down, so now I have to guess. It was Erica and Lieutenant Surge. Hopefully that was right.
No, it was Misty.
Oh, thank God.
She looks like a dude.
Thank God you're here, Devin.
Because she looks like a dude in the, I don't know, the angle they pictured her looks terrible.
She's always pretty masculine in the game world, I gotta admit.
Yeah.
And then Lieutenant Surge is the next? Yes, because that's when he does.
Yeah, you see the Raichu and he says it was a tough battle.
Yes, definitely. And Raichu's like knocked out or something. Or is it Happy? I can't remember.
No, it's Happy. It's standing right next to...
It's like, yay, I'm dead. Yeah, so that's a quick zip through. I agree. That's zooming through a lot of the game. And Red then buys a Magikarp, which holds no pertinence to the story, which was just thrown in for all of us, you know, rudimentary trainers who had gone through and bought that Magikarp and realized that it was a weak Pokemon, but didn't know it evolved into Gyarados, because apparently Red didn't know either, because he should have used that thing, honestly. He would have had a good time. There are some shenanigans at Mount Moon. They skip over anything that would have happened with Team Rocket there, so that confirms that Origins bases itself off of Red and Blue, not Yellow, because Yellow would have had some Jesse and James business, but we're not going to see them in Origins at all. Ooh.
Well, isn't Yellow solely based more off the anime?
Yellow did interpret some anime stuff in there, so at that point, I think...
Yes, that makes sense that it wouldn't do it.
Think about it, that would be three universes at once. That would be...
Yeah, that'd be too intense.
That'd be the game world mixed in with Yellow, which takes anime world. Oh my god, I couldn't even understand what was going on at that point. And I guess the kind of fourth world is the Origins world. Oh my god!
Animeception!
Animeception, indeed. Holy crap. I don't think they even think like that anymore. They're probably just like, eh, let's just make up the rules as we go, and we'll frustrate all the fans. That's fine.
Hashtag Glee.
Oh, jeez.
So true.
Another important event that's skimmed over is obviously that, you know, Red gets his Kabutops. He gets Kabutops, as we later learn, from the two fossils that he was able to choose. He has his Team Rocket encounter from the guy that's not living. He's broken behind the house in Cerulean City, which is odd because it's told out of context. That doesn't make sense. Most of these events are, actually. And I don't know why it was skimmed over, because that was like an introduction to Team Rocket. Like, that should have been bigger. But he was just like, I took sound, some bad guy, and blah, blah, blah. And I appreciated all of these little cute moments, too, where it stopped and took a screenshot of what was happening, because it made it look like it was like a 2D representation of what happens in the games, because it would still have, like, blocky game pixelated text, and the character's mouse would only move up and down with it. But it looked pretty well detailed. Those moments were looking pretty cool, so I liked all those cute little things. And lastly, after he gets HM01 cut, he gets an old rod, and they make it a very big point that Red gets the rods. They always tell when he gets an upgrade for the rod, which is another odd moment too. Charmander evolves, bam! He evolves into Charmeleon, and the only way I can defend that moment is that whenever you're playing any given Pokemon game, your starter will evolve very quickly in respect to the way that it'll evolve into its third stage. So Yes, I know, Saman, that you were very upset about how everything moved on. So you tell us your reasonings, and then we'll try and combat the best we can.
Okay, the pacing of the entire four specials was absolutely crazy. I think that was the one thing that I mainly didn't like about it. Like, when he gave that flash through at the beginning, I actually went back to episode one, skipped through to the end, because I thought I'd missed something. This is way... Because I'm like, well, where the hell was I? Just too fast, too much, and there's a lot of things that I would have liked to see that they cover in flash forwards.
In this one?
Well, the Misty battle, for one thing, that would have been cool. Charmander heading up to its evolution. Like, just things like that. Like, I would have rather have, like, a few more episodes than flash-forwarding through.
I get where you're coming from, and it makes sense. And then does anyone else want to join Saman's side before I rip her apart?
No, I couldn't stand the fact that they hurried it up either.
Jack?
I'm sort of indifferent. Like, I think that maybe they could have added like an extra 10 minutes to each episode, which could have improved it a bit. But I mean, I wasn't fussed at all by it. It just would have been nice.
Oh, well, I'll start off with Jack's point for when you said that they should have added about 10 more minutes in. I was already feeling a little bit bogged down by the length of this, about an hour and 15 minutes it ran for. I found that was just the right amount of time for it, because other than that, I couldn't stand the anime shenanigans anymore. I couldn't watch Red do anything like trip down a set of stairs one more time. I was just going crazy. You know, there's only so much I can take of that sugary, sweet anime cuteness before I'm just like, too much, I'm sick of this, it's not fun anymore. But also, Jack, the production value of this was very high. Not only, obviously, just the animation, but the sounds, along with, you know, the sound effects and the voices for all the Pokemon. And overall, I think that they just spent a lot of time creating every single frame of this. And not only that, but picking the story elements that they needed to pick, which transits me into my next point, which is that they had to choose to tell a very specific story from a very disjointed story in from the Pokemon games. Those games don't really follow one string that's very movie-like. They're fine for an RPG, but they don't follow one set goal. They mix in a couple different things, which is why they chose to skip over a lot of these battles, because Red's main goal in Origins is not to become the strongest battler. He isn't going to be shown battling every gym leader, because that's not his main swing. His thing is to literally see as many Pokemon as he can. And that is his ultimate goal in the end of Origins. It's exactly what he does. He does try and treat them all with respect and all of that. So, and that fits in along with that goal. And if I had to pick a couple different storylines that helped mirror that and why they chose those storylines, I can give examples too of that. Like, for instance, they chose to highlight Lavender Town and Cubone and Marowak. I think they did that simply because they wanted to show Red's compassion for Pokemon, and that fits in with the main theme I was talking about. They chose to follow a strong parallel between Red and Giovanni eventually, because they wanted to show the compassion that Red had as compared to Giovanni. And also, in general, they wanted to show Team Rocket, because that's another thing that shows that. That's the best long-winded explanation I can give for why they did what they did to make it more movie-like. But Saman, in particular, I'd love to hear if you have any more rebuttals against what I just brought up for all the reasons I just threw at you guys for why they chose to fast-forward through these moments the way they did.
Well, you got a good point about Red's goal and stuff, but I don't, like... You don't really need to sacrifice another part of the storyline for that. Like, just make it, like, I don't know, 6 episodes or something.
Production value. You got me back to that point. Yeah. I mean, in a perfect world, yes, it'd be 6 episodes.
Okay, I have a rebuttal.
Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, it's not even a big rebuttal, because I'm not even, like, on any side. But with... What you said, Mitch, everything you said is, like, valid, and I agree, I 100% agree with that, how it takes so much time to create every frame, every bit of music, every single little plot thread. It takes a lot of time, but still, like, an extra 10 minutes for an episode, even 5 minutes for an episode, you can do it if you're already on... It's almost like if you take, for example, if you're exercising, okay, and you go for a 2... I'm going to use Australian terms, I don't care, a 2-kilometer run, okay... And then you do, and you're like, okay, I'm running. I might as well do an extra 500 meters while I'm at it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a bit like that. And then you feel better after, and then you get fit. So in this way, it's like an extra 5 minutes. Like it kind of ties things up more. You get more story, and everyone's happy.
What Jack said.
Hey, that's a good point, Jack. And I only have one last thing to rebuttal with that before I want to move on from this point. Unless Devin has something to say, and we'll get to you in a second if you do. My point is that they basically could do that all day. They could sit around and pick at their art and try and make it the best that they could, but in the end of the day, there's a point where you have to just let it go and be what it is, not only just for the amount of effort it's taking from you physically to put that together, but, you know, time crunch. I'm sure that they could have been on time crunch for this, and I don't know how the production behind Origins went. I don't know what team it was on or anything, and that's an interesting thing that we should check up on in a future episode of PokeChat. I'm sure that there will be some sort of commentary from the creators or something that'll go on for that. I hope at least we'll get a commentary from the people who were in charge of the dub production. So that would be really interesting if we did. So, Devin, do you have any final rebuttal to close off the argument of why they chose to do these fast-forward moments?
No, I like what you said about the whole Cubone thing to show his compassion. It makes a lot more sense because I was like, why did they focus on this until you brought that apart? Hmm. It would have been nice to have an extra 5 minutes so things didn't have to get too hurried, but I understand that, like, okay, four episodes, you guys got to put whatever you can, his entire story into four episodes, highlight the main moments, go. And mm-hmm. So it's like, it's understandable why they did it. It's just kind of a bummer for us to be like, oh, we got to get hurried through, like, countless hours of info that we had to slog through in the game, but we get hurried up in this.
Yes, and that's the point of Origins, to not let you slog, to make this a fast-paced, really adrenaline-fueled adventure that only, it's snapshots of Red's adventure. Like, every time that we come in and then it goes to that save menu, we see that it skips over, like, you know, a good 5 hours each time of gameplay, and I think that they must have really sat through and tried to discern what the average player, what time stamp the average player would be at each point, and to see how far they would have gone, so I think that they did the best of the job that they could for a very inclusive special, not an anime. This is an anime, and I don't think we should treat it as that. I think we should treat it as a movie. So let's continue on watching this movie, I guess we should say, or this special. Okay, so Red gets a bicycle from that bike voucher you get, and then heads toward Lavender Town. Dun, 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 dun. Oh, wait, no, wrong music. This is dun, 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 dun. Ding, ding, ding. And they had that music eventually. It sounded really cool, too. Almost as cool as the Blue Rival music sounded. So
I almost had a seizure. Or was that what happened with some? People have seizures for that song?
That's the rumor. It never happened. Seizures when they heard the Lavender Town song because there's high pitches that only children can hear. No, that doesn't exist. That never happened, guys. I mean, come on. Okay. Yeah, the Game Freak really wants to ruin the reputation and, you know, have billions of dollars in lawsuits. I mean, just use your logic, people. Copypastas are copypastas for a reason.
Valid point.
Okay, so Red heals his Pokemon and overhears a couple talking about ghosts at Pokemon Tower. They explain that the very generically named Pokemon Tower is a gravesite for Pokemon, and guess that the ghost that is seen inside of Pokemon Tower is most likely a Pokemon. The woman makes a joke that there's a white hand on Red's shoulder and then disappears. Ooh, yeah, I love that moment. What just delicious gamey. I just loved how gamey that was because I just loved that moment in the games. I love how that moment was picked because they knew that fans of the game usually got creeped out when they first read that as a kid. And it worked. It was great. It was creepy. It was excellent. Jack, did you like that moment?
Oh, I'm mute. Yeah, it was all right. I don't think I liked it as much as you did. But it was neat.
And you guys know there actually was a white hand on the shoulder, right?
No, there was nothing. I looked on purpose to see if there's something on Red.
No, there was.
Okay, there was? We'll screenshot that right now. Well, not right now. After we're done recording this episode, screenshot that, post it in the Hypeable PokeChat Facebook fan group. That's a long name. And then I want to check this out, and we're going to have a debate over what type of ghost that is. I need to learn more about that ghost, because that's really interesting.
I'm glad she saw it, because I definitely saw it when I was watching it.
Oh my god.
See, I didn't.
That's even scarier, because when I was a kid, I was like, oh, she's just joking with me. And she asked you, maybe, a ghost, and she says, and you say no, she's like, something like, that's when she says that line. But when you say yes, she's like, oh, good, me too.
Maybe
the part of the ghost is that it only comes up on a few of our streams.
Wait, it only shows up in a few of our dreams?
So, no, streams. So if Mitch, you and I didn't see it, but Devin and Simone did, maybe it's because that's the effect of the ghost.
I'm not going to throw out too big of a conspiracy theory here, but working off of where Jack is going, in XY, there is that lady who asks you if you're the one. Are you the one? No, you're not. She floats away. Maybe there's just like a ghost following the protagonists of all the games and just, you know, looking to find the one that's going to do it. And maybe that's the large overarching plot of all the Pokemon games, that there's a ghost following you and it's able to take the form of however it wants or something. I don't know.
My headcanon is the ghost was Red's father, and that's why he had his hand on his shoulder.
See, now that's heartwarming. That's very heartwarming.
Unless his father is somebody else that we might get into later.
Yes, we're going to love getting to that conversation. Awesome. So the nurse gives Red his Pokemon and suggests that Red heads to the other generically named place in this town, Pokemon House, to go there and see all the Pokemon that are being taken care of that are abandoned. A girl named, wasn't it Rainy, showed him around, and she had a large importance. It was surprising how big of an importance she had. She was...
Oh, she called her name!
She was like a B character, and it was pretty surprising. Like, she was nearly as big as Professor Oak in this grand plot, the grand scheme of things, because she's had that much dialogue and that much screen time. It was amazing. So, yeah, very brand new character added into the game. She might have been a small assistant in the games, but... In Origins, they needed a new character, I guess, to introduce Fuji when he was disappearing, and then they couldn't write her out, so they had to keep her in, I guess. So, at this house for abandoned Pokemon, Rainy tells Red that the founder, Mr. Fuji, remodeled the house to make it this kind of place. Red finds a angry baby Cubone in the house, who likes no one but Mr. Fuji. The backstory for this Cubone was, naturally, as we all know, that it was chased away during a Pokemon wrangle by Team Rocket, leaving its mother to fend against Team Rocket. Team Rocket, we learn for the first time, murdered this famed Marowak, this infamous Marowak, by using one of those electric beating sticks. The baby Cubone hasn't trusted anyone since. Very heart-tugging story. We all know of it, and it's sad to have to see it play out, but it's an interesting plot point to give Red, because it is a very... It's a special thing to see how murder was portrayed in a very young series meant for a very young generation. So, moving on, Red hopes to meet...
Yeah, but... Sorry, can I make a point there? When you said younger generation, I think Origins was also mainly made to shut the bad Gen 1ers up. Like, most of the year, we are bombarded with, like, new XY Gen 6 stuff. And then this gets brought out on the same time XY is. So it's just like, okay, I think this is the way of the Pokemon company saying, you know, like, we've got all this new stuff. Just take, we're throwing you a bone. Like, just take this Origins, be happy, stop complaining, and that's it. So I don't think this is mainly to cater to younger audiences. Yeah. Except it probably is a little bit, just because Pokemon covers such a large demographic. But also, like, with the point you said before about how when we're talking about how they cut down the cries in the English dub, because I think that's also because they didn't do that in the Japanese dub, just because anime is such a huge thing over there, and, like,
yeah, it's a large cultural thing that everyone enjoys. Yeah,
exactly. So they're not going to, like, they're just going to keep doing what they're going to do. And there's a lot worse anime, or not worse, but a lot more violent and graphic anime in Japan anyway. That's probably a bit more bigger thing. So having those violent cries is not going to be as big of a deal as, you know, seeing someone's head cut off. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah, a culture.
That's what adds to the point where it's just like two different cultures in general, or two different groups. I don't know. It's a bit, yeah, that's what I think.
Definitely, and I agree with you saying that they're throwing the Gen 1ers a bone, but you said the bad Gen 1ers, so I'm interested to hear what you think about that.
There
are two different groups then. I agree, I think that they're Gen 1ers that are distasteful towards anything new and won't give it a try and hate everything because it's not what they grew up with, and there are Devin Gen 1ers who are very sweet and compassionate and they care about the new Pokemon. They'll battle you with the Kario and all that, so Do you agree, Jack? Is that what you're coming up with?
I shouldn't say bad. I just mean the ones who freely and publicly and forcefully express their views on anything that's not Gen 1.
Okay.
A quick little... with Pokemon X and Y, it's really opened me up to newer gens. I don't know, because when I went into this, I was like, I don't care about anything else. I just want my first, like, the originals. And now, after I'm done playing it, I'm like, man, I like some of the, like, the Pokemon that I ran into.
Yay.
And Devin, see, like, you're lucky in that sense as well. Because, like, you could have gotten something like Black or Diamond and Pearl where there was only just, like, those gen Pokemon in it. So you're lucky that this is Gen 6 you're coming into.
And that's why I'm happy with XY, because it was like the first Pokemon I encountered was a Pidgey. It wasn't like something I was completely like, oh, what is this thing? I don't even know what type you are. Oh, this is going to be rough. But it was way more open to my Gen 1-iness.
So in that way, they threw the good Gen 1ers a bone.
Exactly.
Good job, Pokemon Company. You were able to
please Gen 1ers.
Good Gen 1ers. Put them all on the head.
All right, guys. Make me have to fight you.
We're joking.
We're just joking, guys.
I know.
We love Gen 1ers of all walks of life.
No, we don't. Have you, like, listened to a previous episode?
Yeah, we have been knocked out of the old Gen 1ers, haven't we? The bad ones. All right, so let's go back into the Origins recap. Red hopes to meet Mr. Fuji, but that man was captured by Team Rocket at the Pokemon Tower. The top floor of the tower is revealed to now be Team Rocket's evil base. They chased away visitors coming to see. They chased one man, and he fell down the stairs backwards, probably died. So they're just, they're big little pikas. Like, Team Rocket and game are just like, okay, we're going to kill everyone, whatever. Done. They're very Lissandra. Okay, so Rainy encourages everybody to try and take on Team Rocket together, but a group of adults are too scared to do it. Red offers to go. Improves his skill with his 3 badges, impressing all these adults that a child would go off into this ghost-ridden place. One of the adults in this group tells of the time she snuck in past Team Rocket and met a ghost who screamed at her, "Get out! Leave this place!" Just like the ghost does in the game. Love that game moment. But it was cool. The voice was a female and a male voice at the same time. The male one sounded very distorted and low. And it wasn't exactly, like, creepypasta-y creepy, but it was enough to give you the chills if you're a younger kid, I'd say. We learned that Blue has been spying on this entire conversation, and he plans to go take down Team Rocket to become the hero before Red does. Blue believes that the ghost story was made up by Team Rocket to scare people off, until he sees it himself. He runs off screaming and crashes into Red at the bottom of a staircase. This was actually an adorable moment and a very shippable moment for anyone who ships Red Blue. I know you're out there. I mean, it's the internet. It's out there. Yeah, and the reason I'm saying that is because Blue was just so utterly terrified, and he held on to the only person he knew in that place and took comfort in snuggling up to Red. Jack, how headcanon-y did I just get there?
Yeah, very. I feel this is going to happen as well.
I know it's Ed Kennedy. I just shipped it for that one moment. That was it. I think that they might have written that in for shippers, personally. I don't know. Devin, what do you think?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Exactly. Just a little too much.
Hmm. Yeah, Blue definitely held on to Red a little bit too long for it to be, I'm your rival. It was more like, I'm your secret lover. IMO, but, you know, to each his own.
Exactly.
Meanwhile, Team Rocket discusses whether these ghosts in Pokemon Tower actually exist. Red finds the ghost and pits his Charmeleon against it when he uses Scratch against a ghost type. God, he really knows no types. It's to no avail. Actually, it's not a ghost type, it's a mystery type. So I guess he wouldn't really know that, but still. Meanwhile, Cubone senses something is up in a parallel scene. One of the first moments that we've seen of parallel scenes happening, so when action is happening in one spot and then another. I love when those things happen. Because the Cubone senses that something is arising up in Pokemon Tower. It bangs on the door until Rainy lets it out and escapes to the Pokemon escapes the Pokemon house, heading for the Pokemon Tower. Blue finds Team Rocket's lens scope and gives this, sylph scope to Red, and Red finds out that the ghost is Marowak, the Marowak that died from that attack from Team Rocket. When Blue And Blue kind of just goes off and does his own thing at this point. It was kind of strange. I don't know what he was up to. But Red sticks out and sees the reuniting of Cubone with its mother, Marowak. Marowak stops speaking English and starts doing its grunts when it turns into its Marowak form. It then floats off to the crying Cubone, almost like it was meant to be some, I don't know, consoling toward the Cubone, but to me it was just like, wow, that Cubone's still just as miserable because now its mother's gone completely forever. It used to be around as a ghost, but now it's just off to the next life, so. What a sad moment. And in the end, Team Rocket appears, but Red takes them on and wins easily against the coffin. Cubone throws its bone to get rid of the smog, and then I think Charmeleon does its flamethrower against it and kills it. So that is the end of the Pokemon Tower Chronicles, leading up to the denouement of this episode, which was when Red and Rainy find Mr. Fuji and lead him to safety, leaving people to mourn their Pokemon in peace. As Mr. Fuji thanks Red, he gives him a Pokeflute and some very special gems, wink, wink, nod, nod. The episode ends with Red leaving Lavender Town and running into Blue once more. He tells him that he needs to go trade more, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so we have Mega Evolution Stones in a Gen 1-based anime special. Saman, go.
Well, that throws the game parallels out the window with that.
Yeah, the universe should have collapsed by now.
makes not much sense.
Much not sense, indeed. That's, I don't care that it's not a sentence. It just needs to exist with that. Jack, did you have an issue with this?
No. I mean, because it really is, like, I mean, we say it's different universes, but it is still the Pokemon world, so they can sort of just, like, pull whatever they want from the world that they've created and put it in something. So I think it was fine. I mean, it's the only really Gen 6 thing that's come up, except for, like, at the end. But that is to do with Mega Evolutions, so, like, you know, it's fine. I think it's fine. I think it's good they did it.
I think it's funny that they call it Pokemon Origins, but yet they introduce Gen 6 stuff into it.
I mean, that's a classic thing that happens in anything that relates to one series to another. And the best example out there right now of cross-marketing like that is when in Thor 2, Loki turns into Captain America, and before Thor 2, the Captain America trailer for Captain America 2 played. I'm calling them the Captain America 2 and Thor 2 for ease of access, guys. I know that they're really called Thor World of Darkness and etc. that's just a way to get people excited for the next series because they get a taste of one of them. So
Iron Man 3, Thor. I think Thor was talking to... Iron Man was telling Thor the story of the movie or something.
Oh, yeah.
The end credits,
something like that. I didn't stick through the end credits, but I think I remember hearing about that. So they're always going to do that kind of cross-marketing stuff with large series like that when they have a lot of different things to pull from. So, interesting stuff. And I think that one last example of that is, Saman's going to love this, Kingdom Hearts! Come on, the whole thing is advertising for Final Fantasy games, pretty much, because both cameos for characters to get you to play their games. It's insane how interesting the Disney and Pokemon Company marketing can be. Okay, so Origins Episode 3, Giovanni opens as Red has two new gym battles, this time from Erica and Koga. Completely skimmed over them, nothing special there, other than the fact that Erica was burnt to death from Red's Charmeleon, so poor Erica, I'm sure she's pretty miserable about that. Nothing special about Koga, I don't remember even seeing that scene, so... I think it wasn't a very impressionable moment. Didn't he have? I don't even know. Who does he have in his team that was his lead? Do you guys remember?
Like Venomoth. Didn't he have Weezing or Arbok? I feel like he had one of those.
Definitely. All right. So here is a big moment they skimmed over, and I'm going to have to admit to everyone else that this was a moment they shouldn't have. After Red fights Team Rocket in their hideout in the game corner, he meets Giovanni. But we skim over it, and it's just like, there's the evil boss. Muhahaha, done. Yeah, then Red gets a super rod and evolves his Charmeleon. Saman wrote in a recap after that, woo! Like, that's a lot. Yep.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm, that was a lot. Okay, so let's jump into where the episode really picks up. Red arrives in Saffron City. He meets up with Blue outside of Sylph Company, and they discuss what has happened since Episode 2. They saved a Sylph Company employee who had ripped up tights and was limping. Was that an allusion to rape? Devin.
Wait, what are you talking... explain that again. What did you say?
Red and Blue save a Sylph Company employee, a secretary, who had ripped up tights and was limping, which I thought could have been an allusion to rape, could have been an allusion to she just tripped, but to me it felt very rapey.
No, I don't remember this scene, so I don't think it's very rapey to me. Or at least I didn't think of it as rapey.
I saw it as that. I completely did. I was like, that's dark. That is insanely dark for the Pokemon series. It's left up for interpretation.
She was just beat up.
Well, okay, you're saying she just beat up, but as Red and Blue are talking to her in the forest, she's, you know, very much like, oh, thank you for saving me, blah, blah, blah. And she gets up at one point, and they make a point to show that she's getting up too limp, and they make a point to show that her stockings are ripped. And that's why...
Yeah, that just means she's just, like, yeah, fallen over and she's been beat up.
I thought there was a little bit too much significance on the shots to make it not... that interpretation.
It's possible.
I mean, it's possible. I'm not saying that what I'm saying is definitively true. I think that it's very much left open for interpretation on purpose, because they're not going to confirm that rape happens in Pokemon in any universe that exists ever. That will not happen. Not even in Mongo. Well, I'm sure of it.
Well, there's two sides to it, I guess. I mean, like, they're not going to tackle such a sensitive topic as, like, sexual abuse in a TV show like this, in, like, a series like this. But then again, I'm going to pull another Harry Potter, in the books, what's her face, I can't remember the name, the Marufi. Daughter of Marvel, like, yeah, Marufi, is that her name?
Yes.
No. Yeah, it is her, yeah. J.K. Rowling never mentioned it, but it was alluded to, and she said it in an interview, but not in the books, that she was abused sexually as a child, which is the problem she had with her magic. So I guess there's two sides to it, but I don't think
Voldemort
that
came from. Voldemort's the baby, yeah. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Voldemort is not the baby of Baropi's brother. Never mind. That's that was another riddle. That was a rich riddle man or something.
Yeah, well, no, because Baropi, she used the love potion to trick Tom's father. But I don't know. I don't think there was anything to do with that, what you're saying. It's just, to be honest, I don't think they're going to do it. There's no reason to do it as well. Like, it doesn't, unlike Harry Potter, having that in this story doesn't serve a purpose. Whereas in Harry Potter, they had to do that to show how her magic got messed up because of this traumatic childhood she was living.
Yeah, for this, I thought it was just to show Team Rocket's extremes and how they have no care for anyone, just like any of the gang members of pretty much every generation of Pokemon don't. They just don't care about harming other people. They're going to go to the extremes, to even the highest extreme, I'd say, where Lissandra wants to not only create a magma and water world, but he wants to just destroy the world. He's done. He just wants to kill everyone. So, to me, that was, like I said, the extreme that they wanted to show with that, but I'm really interested to hear what our listeners have to say about that. If you're going to write in about anything about Origins, write in about that moment, because I think that that is something that may have been not noticed by a lot of audience members of Pokemon Origins. All right, so from this Sylph Co. secretary for the president, we learn that Team Rocket has taken over Sylph Co. to get the Master Ball, and that currently they are using Pokemon to do evil experiments. They don't specify what those evil experiments are, but they're working tirelessly to create the Master Ball so that they can duplicate it and then capture all the Pokemon they want in the world, save for Pokemon that are being used by trainers, as we've now discussed. We found out that Team Rocket is doing lots of evil things, but Red decides he's going to stop all of this, and he tries to force Blue into action. Blue is very reluctant to join in and help out with this part, because Red tells Blue that they must take the Sylph Co. secretary back to a neighboring town to go to the police station to tell what's happening. And personally, I was like, well, shouldn't you bring her to the hospital? She's limping, you know? So Blue eventually agrees, and Red prepares to storm Sylph Company. This part was very zipped through. There wasn't a good amount of grunt battles overall in Pokemon Origins. They probably wanted to avoid redundancy. I appreciated that. Red receives the free Lapras that you get in the self-company building from a grateful employee once he releases all of them. Made me so excited. I'm loving all the Lapras stuff the Pokemon series is getting as of late. It is great. It is just fabulous. And Devin, you must be loving all of the love that... Oh, wait, no, I was going to say your Charizard. That was... Jack said Charizard was his favorite when he really meant Lucario. Devin, who's your favorite? I can't remember. Gengar.
I like Snorlax and, Snorlax and Gengar.
Snorlax and Gengar, they get some love in this. They get some... I mean...
A little bit.
They get some expected love, not an over amount of love. Lapras gets an over amount of love. And so, Pikachu gets no love. Pikachu gets one cutscene.
Oh, that's okay. Pikachu gets a huge abundance of love in the original anime.
Pikachu owns the world other than that, so I think it's fine.
It's only like the mascot, you know.
So... Yeah, Brett gets his Lapras, and apparently he had 5 Pokemon on him, because I'm pretty sure he uses this thing really soon. And if not, it's just funny how we don't see that moment where it's sent back to his PC. Because in the games, you can't receive it unless you've had that 5th spot open, that 6th spot open. Okay, so Giovanni fights against Red almost immediately upon Red interrupting the interrogation of the president. Giovanni pulls a Severus Snape on Red, scolding Red for his arrogance before challenging him to battle. Red faces his Charizard, which I think we skipped over the part where Charmeleon evolved. That was because the anime skipped over it. Gah. that was back in our previously on Pokemon Origins part that Red skimmed over. Okay, so both evolutions were skimmed. That's weird. Red's Charizard faces off against Giovanni's Nidoqueen. Very awesome battle to see. Charizard loses very quickly against Red and is left to try again another day. Giovanni leaves as Sylph Company's power and the whole building is shut off when Nidoqueen uses an attack to shove Charizard into a wall. And I think there's an explosion at one point, and Giovanni escapes on a helicopter, leaving Red battered and bruised. Very violent, I'd say. And this is probably the biggest explicit moment of violence that we've seen in Origins. And the only reason I'm saying explicit is because of that mention of the rape scene that I think might have been there, but whatever. hey, Devin, what did you think of the real introduction to Giovanni in the Sylph Company?
I like that he used Nidoqueen, because I think of Giovanni, I think of like Rhydon and Nidoking, so it was cool to see how powerful Nidoqueen was.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Very powerful Pokemon for one that you find on Route 2 or whatever leads to the Pokemon League in Gen 1.
But once you get a Moonstone on it.
Yeah, but you can evolve into a Nidoqueen very quickly in Gen 1, because you find Moonstone in Mount Moon, which is right past the third town, so you could definitely be kicking some Pika with some Nidoqueen, you know, in a very early stage in Gen 1. Alright, so we get a sum-up of Red's battles against 2 more gym leaders, so basically this episode of Origins had 2 flashback moments in it, which was a bit frustrating, I agree, Simon. The 2 other gym leaders were, I don't know, Simon, you didn't write them, I'm going crazy, I'm going to mess them up. Okay, let's do this together, guys. Let's do this together. One of them was Blaine.
Sabrina and Blaine?
Yeah, there you go. Got it. Okay, Sabrina and Blaine. Red defeats them without any mention of how tough their battle was. I noticed that with Blaine, there was the quiz thing that had that in the background. So I noted that they even went through and wrote that little detail in. That was cute. I like that. So nice little set piece that they threw in there. And then Red arrives at Cinnabar Island where, yes, like I said, he just defeats Blaine and he heads to the Pokemon Mansion for a very important reading that we don't get to see what he's reading of yet. We just hear that he's reading it, and if we spoke Japanese, we'd be better off because we get to see it earlier on. But, unfortunately, we don't get to see what he's talking about yet. But if you've played the games before, you know exactly what this is talking about. It's the Mew discovery in... Wasn't it described as being like Brazil or something? Like South America?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's just, I know we've talked about that before in PokeChat, that's an odd moment of real-world influence within the Pokemon universe, so let's not even get into that parallel, that paradox, I should say. Okay, so finally, Red beats Blaine and prepares to face the Viridian City leader for the final badge. We learn that Blue has already defeated the Viridian City leader, who uses ground types. Upon entering Red oddly finds out the leader isn't there, which is what happens in the games before you've gotten all 7 badges and you defeated Giovanni at Silco. But the leader isn't absent because literally the next shot is Red walking in and saying, okay, let's battle. So I was like, you didn't have to throw in that he's not there moment because he should be there at this point in the story. He waits until Giovanni arrives, and Red is appalled to find out that the gym belongs to Team Rocket. Giovanni says that they use this gym as the way to hide what Team Rocket's real ulterior motives are. Giovanni recounts his defeat at the hands of Blue and commends Blue's talent, saying that he hasn't often seen a trainer of that ability at that young age, before insulting Red's inability of battling. Red has an inner monologue during both battles against Red, saying, wow, I can't believe that he's getting me this fired up. He's really interesting. And during this battle, we're going to see that he notices that the childhood of Giovanni mirrors a lot of what Red's going into. So we'll get more into that when that moment happens in this battle. Giovanni wonders why Red's annoying him so much, but Red ignores any weird looks he might be getting from Giovanni by sending out his victory bell against Giovanni's Rhyhorn. But victory bell is easily KO'd despite this type advantage, with a very violent horn thrust to the stomach of victory bell. Red then chooses Kabutops and Snorlax, but Giovanni knocks them all out with a horn drill. Rather odd that he was able to knock out Snorlax so easily, wouldn't you say, Devin?
Well, if he used horn drill, it's a one-hit KO, but it's a terrible accuracy, so...
Yeah, but bit. In Gen 1, I'm pretty sure that that was one of the moves that glitched, and that you could use it... No, I think Fisher was one of those, or something. There's one move that was a one-hit KO move that hit almost every time because of a glitch or something in it.
I want to say it's Fisher.
Yeah, it was written in as being, like 20% accuracy, but it really had 100.
Carol.
Yeah, so, I think it was that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Fisher. So Red then sends out Jolteon, which is KO'd by a Thunderbolt of all moves from the Rhyhorn. And this is because of the superior level of Rhyhorn to Jolteon. Finally, Red sends out a Hitmonlee that he got from that fighting dojo right near Sabrina, excuse me. And he finally defeats Rhyhorn in a draw with, I think, a Hitmonlee Rhyhorn multi-kick. They both hit each other at the same time and they both double KO. Red sends out his Charizard, revealing that leaving it to the last was a deliberate choice, even though it's going to have a type disadvantage to these ground types. We get a flashback then of Giovanni's childhood before he sends out Rhydon, where Giovanni says that he throws Pokeballs just the way that Red does, and that this is going to show the deeper side of Giovanni and the ultimate change in the Pokemon series that's going to push the story forward, because Giovanni fails in defeating Charizard when it somehow, despite all type disadvantages, is able to take out Rhydon. And when Red is victorious, he doesn't want to take the gym badge from a member of Team Rocket. Giovanni, on a whim, is basically just like, hey, you know what? You're right. Hey, Grunts, go call up everyone and tell them that we quit. Yeah, no, we're done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, we're quit. Okay, here's the badge. Yeah. It's not coming from Team Rocket anymore. Here you
That's
go.
That's not a huge decision at all.
Yeah. He's just like, my life's work is done, and I'm going to become good or something. Like, whatever. So, yeah.
He Red just gets... drops the mic and leaves.
Totally. That's a very Beyonce moment. And sorry if it seems like I'm totally rushing through these last moments. We're trying not to make this Origins episode too long for you guys, because there's a lot of meat in this episode, so we don't want to overwhelm you guys with too much discussion. All right, so moving on. Red gets the 8th badge, and Giovanni disbands Team Rocket. They all are happy for Ash, because he now is able to go to the Pokemon League. Giovanni starts a fresh start, as we see in Gen 2. Team Rocket will come up again, and I believe that you find Giovanni eventually in Soul Silver, Heart Gold, and flashbacks. I can't remember his ultimate storyline, but I know that we were having a discussion before in our Hypable Pokechat Facebook fan group that you can read more of over, is Giovanni meant to be Red's father? Was what these moments were meant to represent? But then I believe it was Gordon revealed that in the manga that the Gen 2 rival is Giovanni's son, so it's impossible for Red to be that son too, I'd say. I don't know. Who's having these babies? Like, who's the mother of all these things?
Well, it depends. Giovanni might be a bit of a player. You never know.
Yeah, maybe he's just really pimpy. Okay, so moving on to the last episode, Origins Episode 4, named Charizard of all things, as opposed to Mewtwo or Elite Four. Red recounts his victories against the Elite Four, skimming through all of those, because those aren't important or anything, before...
Whatever.
I mean, if you're going to skim over any battles, it's gym battles, but not the Elite Four. Come on, I wanted to see, like, at least one-on-ones with those. But you know what? That would have dragged it on. Like, that's a cool factor that that's an extreme cool factor that I wanted. Yes, moment of weakness in my plan, in my argument. But I think that would have looked great to see all of those battles, but unfortunately, we don't. So, yeah, he defeats all four easily, and he goes right up against Lance, who he defeats with his Lapras! Woohoo! I knew that Ice Beam was Kick Pika back then, and it still is. Mm. Love that Dragon-type weakness. We have the carbon-copied text from the game when Lance tells Red, he's the new Pokemon champion. No, wait, Blue is, because he defeated me before. Then we have an epic battle of Red versus Blue. Red sends out Jolteon against Blue's Pidgeot, which is unfortunately knocked out by Pidgeot's Gust, thus showing that Jolteon is a Pika, because it's never won any battle that we've seen. How sad. Red sends out his Charizard against Blue's Blastoise, giving Blue some serious flashbacks. And we should note that, Simon, I think that you left this out of your recap, but there was other battles in between those, right? Between other Pokemon, or was it just 2-on-2?
Other battles between who?
Red and Blue. There were other Pokemon that they matched up, right?
I don't know. It went sort of a weird way. I swear Red used, like, one Pokemon. Or maybe two.
You see a Scyther? You see Scyther against, something. I remember him running on the walls.
Yeah, too fast.
I like
too
roughly fast. Remember it, but it was very fast. I agree. Well, I guess the most important part was meant to be Blastoise versus Charizard. So somehow Red knocks out Blastoise with Charizard, and I think he does this by doing a seismic toss against it. And I think it's a shocking moment too, right, when Charizard survives Blastoise's Hydro Pump. Most likely wouldn't have happened, but maybe Charizard's really leveled up at this point. Professor Oak shows up and gives his game dialogue, scolding Blue, but Blue actually interjects this time, so giving himself a little more of a defense than he had in the games. And he's basically just like, he's not saying I don't love you, but he's very much saying I'm not proud of you because you didn't love your Pokemon, so get your Pika together. And he's like, hey Red, follow me, enters him in to the Hall of Fame, and then we get to see Red's team, which was another hot point of discussion in the Hyper Bowl Facebook fan group. So guys, let's talk about the team of Red just briefly enough to talk about if it's good or bad. Okay, so he has some of his Mount Silver team, which included Lapras, Charizard, and was it always Jolteon or...
No.
It was Espeon, wasn't it?
It was Pikachu.
All right, okay, so then it differs from there on because he also uses Jolteon, Dodrio, Paris, and Scyther. Interesting. Okay, so I made a big argument that that Persian and Dodrio were weaklings, and everyone really ganged up on me against Persian.
Agreed.
That it was both fast and had the abilities of status effects because it was a normal type and could learn a lot of TM moves. So, I need someone to defend Persian a little bit more for me to be convinced that it's better. So I know that, Saman, you were a bit of on the forefront for why Persian was legitimate. So give us a good reason as to why Persian would have been a great Pokemon for Red to be using.
No, I agree with you. I wouldn't have used Dodrio or Persian either, actually.
Oh, I never would have used them. Never. I just think that they're just... their stats aren't high enough for me to, and their moves aren't that decent. Someone is jiggling their leg, and it's the most jiggling leg I've ever heard. It sounds like... Okay, come on, someone fess up. Who's doing it?
Not me.
Silence. Okay, I'm not going to point fingers. You were caught red-handed, one of you, but I know who did it. Oh, being a host. Love it.
Okay. As far as Persian, in my gold or my Soul Silver game, I decided to make a, like, just raise up a Persian, see what I could do with it. And I gave it Attract, Shadow Claw, Toxic, and Swagger. Just, I don't know, it was just kind of just something fun to play with. Because you attract, and then you can swagger them, give them some Toxic. That's just how I did it.
Yeah, it's an interesting Pokemon, I'll say the least, because As normal type goes, I guess it is pretty fast, and that's what its main advantage is. Unfortunately, yeah. He didn't use Snorlax in this battle against Blue, which he probably
Swagger should. Amuses me.
Yes, what is that?
Someone in a club got Swagger Amuses. Like...
I love a point that you made in the group, Simone, on the post. I'm just going to quote you. So this is a quote from Simone Ponga Hill. It's kind of nice that they shook it up and gave different Pokemon a spotlight. I agree with that. I mean, because you don't really see Jolteon and Dodrio, and, you know, they're just sort of there. They're not, like, a big deal in the anime or anything. I like that they did that.
Evolutions get plenty of love. Don't give Jolteon more attention than it needs.
Who was that person? I love their point.
Yeah, I just appreciate that when they don't. That's why I like that Pikachu wasn't a big thing in the most of the Origins. Like, you know, like why should you have the main Pokemon ever in there? Like, I just like when they sort of add different Pokemon. You know, like it just makes it more interesting and it shakes it up heaps.
Completely, it's nice to see something different.
So, you guys have more to weigh in on Red's team. Feel free to go into the Hypable Pokemon PokeChat Facebook fan group and tell us more of why you like Persian and or Dodrio. Jolteon, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for. Alright, so this is the end of the Blue storyline, pretty much, because Red is off on his own to try and continue and complete his Pokedex. We have interesting shots of Red in Safari Zone trying to catch a Chansey, throwing either Rock or Bait at it, and that was kind of cute. And he also faces against the three legendary birds. He ends up using Articuno, and we'll see that he's going to use it in a very important scene coming up. Okay, so there's a lot of backstory shoved into this one area right here in Origins. The most backstory, I'd say, that we had anywhere in Origins at all. Red returns home in glory to tell Oak that he's completed his Pokédex, but he finds no one. Oak's assistant directs Red to Oak's house, where Blue is badly injured, like arm-slinged, head-bandaged injured. He'd fought against a strong Pokemon in the Cerulean City cave and was crushed when his Blastoise was sent flying by a Psychic-type Pokemon. Unfortunately, his Pokedex was also crushed, therefore they couldn't look at the Pokemon that had done all this damage. They try and find out what this Pokemon was and devise that it was a Psychic-type, but it doesn't fit along with any of the Pokemon that that Red has seen in his Pokedex, and they skipped over the Abra line, too, but other than that, I think, in Mr. Mime, but other than that, they had every single Pokemon. Okay, so then we go off to a flashback where Lavender Town is a very important thing, because Mr. Fuji is told about the rumors of the strong Pokemon, but he seems to know all about it already. Meanwhile, Oak is interested in the gems that Red was given in Lavender Town. Brooding over the mysterious Pokemon, Red suddenly remembers reading about it on Cinnabar Island, and he remembers the line, "It's beyond even us," from that diary entry, which is something that I think either Oak says that he remembers Mr. Fuji saying. So Red surfs into Cerulean City Cave, complete with epic music to face Mewtwo. And one thing that we forgot to mention was that also there was mention of Fuji doing his experiments and finding out a lot about Pokemon in the past, and that this was a Pokemon that perhaps he had created. So he's always been involved in that controversy, and maybe he had more involvement with Team Rocket than we know, definitely. Then in the end of this whole thing, basically, Red is able to capture the evil Mewtwo using his, I say evil because it just looks menacing, and he uses his Charizard as a trump card. He captures it, not using his Master Ball, so he hasn't used that thing. He defeats it and is able to capture it, therefore ending the episode with Red bursting with excitement upon realizing that Mew is still out there to catch. All right, so that's everything we have for Origins. Very interesting episodes to cover, and one last thing that we have for this episode of PokeChat is for Jack to run through one bit of news. So Jack, tell us what the news is.
I'll do this really quickly because I have to go in like now. So alright, so the news on the news article that we've got, I haven't done this in ages, it's been a while. Annual fees for the Pokemon Bank in Europe, Australia and New Zealand and the US have been officially announced, well, announced for the other regions. US, you already knew about. So
This is from bulbanews.net, as most of our stuff is. The prices of Pokemon Bank are £4.99 for the UK, €4.49 for Europe, $6.50 in Australia, and $8.50 in New Zealand. And we already knew that it was $4.99 in the US. And the price for the Pokemon Bank in Japan was previously revealed to be 500 yen. And all of this is the rates per year. So obviously you have to pay off the amount every year. And at that, I have to go because I have to go to work.
Well, okay, guys. So we'll call it a wrap on our Pokemon Origins episode. Say goodbye, everyone.
Oh. See ya.
All right, bye. Thank you.